Echoes with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Merry Christmas to all of you here on this Christmas Eve. Thanks for joining us here for the next 30 minutes. We're tuning into God's frequency here today on this Christmas Eve, be it 6:30 in the morning. Maybe you've tuned in at 7:30 here on WMIE. Maybe you've tuned in at 5:30. Hey, if it's 5:30 and you're tuned in, you guys still have time to attend our service starting right about now or in a couple minutes, but we've got a seat for you. You're invited. We would love to see you at 5:30 tonight for our Christmas Eve service. My sermon is entitled Dirty Windows, but there's so much more to our service. We have a short kids play, lots of singing and music and rejoicing and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would love to see you for our service here tonight. Now, here on the radio is part two of this sermon I just started yesterday. I just preached it on Sunday. It's entitled The Mysterious John the Baptist. That's where we're going to be. Let's hear part two. Once again, Merry Christmas to all of you. I love you all, my extended family. God bless you and your family, and I hope you guys have an awesome Christmas.
Not with this guy. Pretty good scene, isn't it? John the Baptist, Sue, you can turn that mic on. He's biding his time, you see. He's waiting in the shadows. He's waiting in the wings. And in the meantime, you see, not many miles from there, everything that we've looked at going on behind the scenes, not many miles from there, perhaps right down the deserted highway, there's another event that's going on at the same time, and that's going to sound something like this.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
All this while the quiet man bides his time in the desert, just waiting for his time, waiting for the call from the heavenly bullpen. God's got John's cell phone number, and he's waiting for that text. Now, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilates, being governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and the regions of Trachonitis, Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, then the word of God came to John, son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You see, once everything was in place, then the word of God came to John in the wilderness. You know, come to think of it, it's the same thing with you as well, not just John. Perhaps God is waiting for a few more governors in your life as well. Dot an I over here, cross a T over there, and then all of a sudden, wham, here comes the word of God. Here come your marching orders. You're just waiting for the fullness of time. You see, God's got to line up a few more things in the right place, and then all of a sudden, just like John, then all of a sudden, the word of God will come to you just that fast. While yet waiting all this time. Look at all the small details that had to happen. And the waiting is now over. Now back to John. Like I said, I really believe there's more to this guy than meets the eye. And in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John will now introduce us, John the Apostle will now introduce us to John the Baptist and inform us as to the fascinating origins of this mysterious man. Now, I'm going to read. You don't need to turn there. You can if you want. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Just going to read one verse. John, chapter 1, verse 6. Here we go. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Seems no biggie on the surface, right? But let's dig a little deeper and let's slow down reading this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Let me change the wording a little bit to help us better understand this, to help you grasp what he's saying. There was a man sent from the police station whose name was Officer Rick. There was a woman sent from the adoption agency whose name was Elizabeth. Here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I see, now I know what you're thinking. This is supernatural. Hello, you think? Of course it's supernatural. Why must God always fit into your box all the time? He's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. Now, let me give you an even larger perspective headache here this morning. The Greek word translated from is the word para, which means alongside of. Here's that word in action. Para, right? Paralegal. Parallel, right?
Strike a pose.
Parallel. Paramedic. Paranoia. Paraphrase. Parapsychology. Paradox. The Lord spoke in parables. Paramilitary. Paranormal. Here you've got paratheu. Alongside of God. There was a man sent from alongside of God whose name was John. Fascinating, isn't it? Could that possibly mean what it says? You bet your sweet bippy it means just what it says. And that is, John is not normal. I'm so glad that I'm not the only one. John's not normal. He's supernatural. Can't you just hear it now? Okay, where's my whistler? Can't you hear it now? Here you are, up in heaven. There was a man sent from alongside of God. Hey, John! You're up. That's not me, that's what the word says. Or more appropriately, would he say? I know I miss you when you're gone. Hey, Elijah! You're up. Now, Jesus is going to prove that here. It's not me. I'm not off my rocker here on this 21st day of July 2087. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Starting in verse 10. I just want you to see that God doesn't fit into our box. Someone who creates all this by saying, let it be, let it be. Paul McCartney, eat your stinking heart out. God says, let it be, and look what you see. There's more to him than that. Come on, he's Almighty God. He created all of this. Don't put him in a box. You know, sometimes when someone asks me to pray for something and I forget to pray about it, you know, I pray after the fact. It's all the same day to him. What, he can't go back in time? He is time. I can forget to pray for something, forget to pray for someone, and pray for them afterwards. It's all the same day to him. He's not subject. He doesn't miss the boat like I do. He doesn't forget like I do. I pray afterwards, and he can answer it before it happens. Now, Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 10. Just a couple of verses I want to look at. Now, they're walking down from the mountain. They just saw this vision. They just saw Elijah and Moses with Jesus up on this mountaintop. So they're coming down, and as they're coming down, these guys remembered their Old Testament, and they remembered Malachi chapter 4 when he says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah before the day of the Lord. So that's what's on their mind. They're on their way down. And these guys are going to bring up that verse to Jesus. Okay? That's the backdrop for where we're at. All right. Chapter 17, verse 10. The disciples said to him, why then do the scribes are those that are in charge of guarding the Old Testament. Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Now, you all know the reason for that. We just read it 10 minutes ago. The Old Testament said, right, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. That's what started this sermon. And they just saw Elijah a minute ago. So they want to know, what's up with this? Now, Jesus answers the question. Look at his answer. Verse 11. So Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, there's the Spock eyebrow. Indeed. Elijah is coming first, and he will restore all things. But I say to you, all right, here comes a lion to gum up the works on us. But I say to you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him. But they did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. Wow. What a mystery. Who is this guy? Who in the world is John the Baptist? Now, one day they came up to John and they asked him. They said in John 1:21, they said, are you Elijah? And he said, nope, not me. Not me. I'm not Elijah. But Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Flip over a couple chapters, Matthew 11, 11. So they asked John, they said, John, are you Elijah? John says, no. They asked Jesus, is he Elijah? Look what Jesus says. Matthew 11, 11. He says, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone that's greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 13. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it. Now, if you're not willing to receive this, then he's not talking to you. Then John's just John. There's nothing to see here. Go on home. Football's on at 1 o'clock. Take thine ease. Hit the trail. God's in a box to you, and he can only do what you'll allow him to in your walnut brain. Sorry, no offense. Then he's not talking to you. Listen to what he says. If you're willing to receive this, John the Baptist is Elijah, who is to come. Then, now he just said it once. Now he's going to single you out again. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what he says in the book of Revelation. See, not everyone's going to be willing to receive this. that God's bigger than our thoughts? We can't contain His majesty in a box because He's greater than that, and He's bigger than all that, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than your problems, too, let me tell you today. What are your problems? Lay them at the foot of the cross. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your problems. So He says, if you're willing to receive it. So John the Baptist, you see on the hand out there, 3 points we're looking at. The first one, the person of John the Baptist. The second, the ministry of John. And thirdly, the humanity of John. Let's move on to the ministry of John. Back again to the original prophecy. You don't need to turn there. Let me read it. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So the ministry of John is to restore broken fellowship and broken relationships, and to turn hearts inward, let's call it. The baptism of John was the baptism of repentance, not salvation. John's baptism was a repentance. God, forgive me for these sins. I've missed the boat. I've strayed. God, help me. That's his ministry. Luke 3:3 reveals the ministry also. He went into the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, the rough ways smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. So the ministry of John was to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, who was soon to follow. And what do you know? It's the same ministry that you have today. You, in that you are preparing people for his second coming. John prepared the way for the first coming of the Messiah. You are the ones that prepare the way for his second coming. Your ministry is the same as his. And I don't have it written down here, but let me say that you are as old as John is. You are as old as dust. I can say that, can I? I just did. You are God's hands and feet. He has chosen you to use you in the eternal plan of salvation. How cool is that? And it would appear to me, as I look around, as we discussed in Sunday school this morning, it would appear to me that time is running out on this old world. Paul wrote, he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So, the ministry of John is the same as the ministry of your ministry. Get people ready for Jesus' return. You share in his ministry. You're no different. All right, point number three, the humanity of John. Matthew 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison, okay, John is in prison now. When he had heard in prison about the works of the Christ, he sent two of his disciples. All right, so some time has passed. He's off the mountaintop now. He's down in the demon-possessed valley, let's call it. Sin's everywhere. and he's in jail now. His own people are ignorant. He's got to be upset. They missed the boat. They missed the Messiah. He's in jail for defending God's honor and standing up for righteousness, which, by the way, will land you in jail too. Do you know it is a criminal offense to give hope to a sexually confused person? In half a dozen or a dozen states in this country. Have you guys heard about the pastor that's on trial now that got locked up in jail in Australia? Now, Billy Graham's son said the guy wasn't even preaching. All the guy did was read John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He read that in what they call an abortion buffer zone, where you're not allowed to say anyone that gets inside of this zone here. And all he did was just read that scripture verse. And they locked him up and put him in jail for that. Now he's on trial. This is the same kind of stuff that happened to John the Baptist. Happened to him, lost his life over it. Same things happening to Christians out here as well. So it's not just poor John. That is, you and I, we're next if we're faithful. Verse 2. This is Matthew 11:2. Now when John had heard in prison about the works of the Messiah, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" So wait a minute. What kind of question is that? After all that we've just been through, good Lord, the guy was just sent out of heaven. What happened? Whatever happened to, not even a year earlier, he says, "You should be baptizing me. And you come to me." That was hardly a year earlier. Whatever happened to, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." What happened to the bold, confident John the Baptist who pulls no punches? What happened to this guy? I'll tell you what happened to him. You guys hear me? Things didn't turn out in his life as he thought that they would. And as a result, he got discouraged. Things didn't turn out in his life like he expected them to. Or he thought that they would. And he got discouraged. And I'm here to tell you today that even the best, even the strongest among us can be discouraged. John had it all. He'd been to heaven. He came out of heaven. From Moses to Elijah to David to Peter. You know what Peter said? He said, "You know what?" He said, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I did before. Before I believed." So let's end it here for today. Let me encourage you. If things did not turn out like you planned, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And all things do work together for good. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Personally speaking, let me say, some of my greatest victories and life-changing directions in ministry have come about through personal failures in my life. Through making the wrong decision. He has taken that, me failing, making mistakes, turning right when I should have turned left. He's taken my greatest failures and he's turned them around into my greatest triumphs. Praise God for that. Amen. Church, God is good. And he will never give up on you. All things will work together for good. All you got to do is love the Lord. Let me offer you two ways to encourage yourself. Number one, stay in the Word. The Word's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. You renew your mind by staying in the Word of God. This book is as supernatural as John the Baptist is. Spend time in the Word. Let God do what He does as you soak this in. Meditate on the Word. That's what He said to Joshua. This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Then He says, so that things may be well with you. Spend time in the Word. Number two, second way to encourage yourself, bear one another's burdens. That is, go and do something for somebody else today. Go and do something for somebody else. Watch how fast your discouragement fades away and you are filled with joy. Once again, church, it's Christmas time. Go and do something for somebody else. Watch your discouragement fall away from you. Go and do something for somebody else. You know, you can ask these food pantry volunteers in here how they feel at 12 o'clock when they leave this church every other Saturday. There's just the joy that we get, am I right, Bob? Doing the Lord's work, helping to provide for people sometimes that don't even have a loaf of bread. If you find yourself discouraged today, let me encourage you to go out here and do something for somebody else. It'll lift every time. And I leave you with this verse. It says, let each of us esteem others as better than ourselves. Now, as for John, I wrote it down here. In spite of who John was, he still got discouraged. If it can happen to him, it can happen to any one of us. In spite of who John was, he still got discouraged. And Jesus encouraged John. Guess how he encouraged John in prison? He encouraged him by telling the things that he was doing for somebody else. Read the rest of that text, and you can read that. That's how he encouraged John. He told John of all the things that he was doing to help other people as well. Other than that, the mysteries of this guy, there's more to this guy here than meets the eye. I just hated that he just doesn't even get a casual glance, and we take the time out and admire this work that God's done in him. And yet God says that even though he's greatest in the kingdom, he says all of us are even greater than that in his eyes. So let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In a recent Substack, Rod Dreher described an art exhibit in Austria entitled, and I quote, "You shall make for yourself an image." As the name suggests, The point of the installation is to blaspheme Christianity, particularly during this season of Advent. The most scandalous piece is Mary holding Jesus after his death. Except in this version, it's a naked woman in a suggestive pose cradling a Jesus who died not from crucifixion,